What's up, everybody? Mr. Trick here for another Rhythm Incursion special. We're sort of crowding these in lately. We're doing back-to-back ones. But joining me tonight, we have DJ, producer, man about town, and yes, sometime associate of Hardfire, Mr. Wrong Tom.
Good evening to you, sir.
How are you, fella?
I'm very good, mate.
Are you liking our intro music?
It's lovely.
I thought you'd,
spot
know,
on.
The sort of vibes we get going on in this place, a nice little bounce of reggae, but... So, actually, I think tonight is probably going to be more reflective of what's to come, because usually it's not remotely, and we play this, and then we just go into some really ludicrous, you know, bass-heavy new electro track or something. So, anyways, Tom, what delights are you going to be bringing us this evening? Because you are basically selecting all of the music this evening.
Okay, we've got an hour's worth of just some filth from my record collection. I've tried to pull out some stuff that people hopefully won't have heard before.
Right.
Few old classics. We've got everything from sort of, I don't know, some dubbed out stuff through to some rock and roll classics, a bit of disco dub. Just pretty much everything that influences me. It's just, it's difficult to get everything in there because there's so much great music out there. But
is this the 60-minute tour through your musical mind?
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
Through the problems that come out of my head.
So what are we going to open up with then? We're going to do this like we did with Johnny Trump, where I'm armed with the CD you brought in, and you're going to have to tell me every single track that I'll be playing. So I have track one queued up.
Okay, I'm probably, I think we're opening with probably the most high profile out of the 20 or so songs that I've got here, with one of my favourite vocalists of all time, actually, Nicolette. This is from her first album. It's called No Government.
All right, let's check this out.
That's
a fine way to open, isn't it? So, Nicolette, what was the track?
It's called No Government. There's I was actually just saying to you in the song there, no one heard this, but it was actually re-recorded for a Talking Loud album. But that's actually the intro to her first album on Shut Up and Dance, and it's Shut Up and Dance, Miley and PJ, just in that cheap two-track style, looping up a classic break unashamedly and just, you know, letting her go for it.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying, wasn't it? It just sort of works with that whole era where it was quite more unashamed about, you know, taking a great loop and just looping it and sort of augmenting it,
yeah,
not feeling the need to smash it to bits and try and, you know, break new ground as much as just enjoy the groove of the original.
Exactly. I mean, one of my favourite productions that they did was the remix they did for, what's the track? It's one of their later ones on Talking Loud, and they did a version with the old Stalag rhythm.
All right.
And rather than chop it up, they just basically did it two-track style, reggae style.
Mm.
Chucked it on, put the vocals over the top, couple of little dubbed out bits. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they just, I suppose, you know, come from the same same background as a lot of people like us. They just love music, and that's why they make it. And
yeah,
I suppose it's, they kind of bridge the gap between like music maker and music lover.
No, absolutely. I think we're on a good tip here, because this is making me want to go and dig out my Nicolette 12. So this is a fine start. So that was the first track from Wrong Tom on tonight's Rhythm Incursion. Right, track two on the CD.
This is a funny little track. Actually, I picked this up from a little shop in Worcester Park called Mike's Music Exchange, and Mike, who runs it, gave me a very disapproving look as I bought it, and he put it on. It's a cover of My Sweet Lord by...
George Harrison.
Yeah, George Harrison.
Oh, my God.
But it's a nice little spooky reggae number by the Great Aces.
All right. Let's check this out then. We've got like a 2-for-2 strike rate going on here. That was awesome as well. How can the guy have criticised you for buying that?
I know. I mean, you know, to be fair, he's an old rock and roller. Likes his rock and roll and a little bit of punk from what I've gathered from chatting to him. But, you know, really, that's an amazing version. Personally, like, sorry to offend any Beatles fans out here, but I think it's better. But I've got to apologise as well for the quality of that one, because it's actually, I think it's a very early test press.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem to have anything on the label, and it's a big, fat slate of a piece of vinyl.
Yeah.
So I don't like to play it too often. I burn it onto CD and I play it off that.
Do you want the CD back? Take it away.
The next one also, it's a little bit crusty. It's a proper album, but you'll never hear another track like this. Like, I mean, not even on the album. There's nothing else like this. A band called Hot Cool Spice. And it's just some... It's called Funky Calypso, and it's just this odd bit of calypso soul boogie, basically. Give it a whirl.
All right.
Funky Calypso, give me a funky. funky calypso. Give me a funky calypso. Give me a funky calypso. Gonna get funky, gonna get funky tonight. Give me a funky calypso. 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 Calypso. Give me a funky calypso. Give me a funky calypso. Give me a funky calypso.
Well, you can't go wrong with that, can you?
That's some straight up heat, isn't it?
That is, yeah, pure and simple. I can kind of see what you mean about the grotty quality relative to the break, but that's, I don't know,
it's muffled.
Some of these things, part of the character.
Yeah, it's muffled, but nicely muffled, I guess.
Definitely.
I mean, I was actually I was thinking about re-recording it and making like a slightly cleaner version that, you know, that could be played out originally just for me.
Mm.
And I was having a chat. It must be about like 5 or 6 years ago. I was having a chat with a few mates while I was out, just saying, anyone know anyone that plays trombone? And oddly enough, Rich, who's now the singer in Hardfire, he was there, and he went, well, yeah, I used to play trombone at school.
Really?
And never knew that. And he went out. And I think he got his mum to buy him one for his birthday or something like that. And he started like practicing the trombone. And he's got a recording.
Ruining his reputation.
No, he's, I mean, he's like an all round musician. He's got some great stuff out there. But there's an early demo of I think it's possibly Tied Up Too Tight or one of the other songs off their album anyway. And it's got him on trombone, and his girlfriend at the time described it as a sad elephant. So I don't think he ended up playing trombone on any of the album.
Anything else ever again.
So maybe that version of Funky Calypso will never happen. You never know.
Well, you know, we live in hope. I love the idea of a version of Funky Calypso just with, you know,
a sad elephant.
Rich from Hardfire providing the trombone. It just gets a tad surreal.
Yeah, there's probably a few fans out there waiting for some images of Rich providing a trombone. But anyway.
Moving on. Oh, dear God, moving on. Right, okay, track 5 on the CD. What you selected?
For track 4.
Oh, track 4 is it? Yes.
Track 4.
First big cock-up of the night.
This is another strange one, another charity shop find from a few years back. This is a girl called Usha, I think. She's her name's pronounced. She's Indian,
right?
But she seems to have she gained more popularity going out to Nigeria, and this is on EMI Africa or something like that. And it's a cover version of Fever. There are aspects of it that I have to admit are actually almost terrible. But on the other side of it, there's just something about it that gets me. It's quite amazing. They're like, you know, some points it's amazingly bad as far as the playing goes, but
yeah,
what they were trying to do almost sounds like what like Four Hero were up to when they were doing their kind of like jazzy drum and bass stuff.
Mm.
But we're talking, you know, 20 or so years before that.
Bloody hell.
So let's give it a go.
Alrighty. Thank you.
give me fever. You give me fever, but so hard to bear. You give me fever when you touch me. Fever when you hold me close. Fever. Gotta treat me like you give me fever. When you're touching me, fever. When you hold me close, fever, fever, fever. My honey, baby, gonna treat me right. Well, everybody's got the fever. That is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. You know Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she got another say. When he put his arms around her, she said, Romeo, hey, you my flame, you're getting a fever. When you touch on me, fever. When you hold me close, fever, mama. You touch me, fever.
Guitarist who blatantly knew about Eddie Hazel. I'm telling you out for nothing. That sound funkadelic rang and they want it back.
Oh yeah.
I love that, man. That was excellent. I do slightly wish you hadn't pointed out about the drum fills being
well, yeah, some of the
while it was playing.
Some of the worst drum fills in the game, but all the better for it, I reckon. Kind of adds to it. I wouldn't want that record to be slick at all, I think. Because it's kind of raw, yeah. That's what almost makes it.
No, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Loving that. So all right, well, let's move on to track 5, he says hesitantly. I'm armed with a CD player that appears to have taken on its own artificial intelligence here, so I'll apologise in advance for that. But yes, track 5, what you got for us?
Track 5 is sheer beauty, basically. For me, this is truly amazing. I don't know if you're a gospel fan yourself.
Not a huge listener. You know, it's not a case of not being a fan, but not an active purchaser of.
Yeah,
I suppose,
either. I mean, I've just got a few bits here and there because most of it is really badly produced.
Mm.
But this is something else entirely because this is actually Martha Bass,
right?
Fontella Bass, and a guy called David Payton, who I guess is part of their clique, their crew, as they say.
Rolls with them and all that.
Rolls with them and Jesus Christ, and Yeah, this is actually members of the Art Ensemble on basically in the backing band.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is just something else entirely.
Okay.
So check it out. It's called God Has Smiled on Me, and watch for the lock groove. It's amazing.
Oh, so good, so good, so good, good. He's been good, he's been good. Oh, he's been good, he's been good.
Word. Once again, I mean, you really are, you know, turning out some fine selections here, mate. But let's just recap on that. So it was Martha Bass.
Yeah, Martha Bass, Fontella Bass. I think the dude with the really high pitched voice is actually the big tubby guy called Dave. And and I can't remember exactly which members it was from Art Ensemble. I think it was Malachi Favors on bass.
Right.
Possibly the drummer. I know Lester Bowie wasn't involved in it. I couldn't hear any trumpet on that. But amazing as well, that's from 1980.
Which,
the recording sound.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's a great album. Like, if you can find it, just go and get a copy of that. It's called From the Roots to the Source.
And who's it credited to?
I think it's really long-winded because it's Martha Bass, Fontella Bass.
All of them.
I think she's got the lead role on it.
Yeah. I'm going to hunt that down. Talk about anyone else. Please myself for this show, you know.
Actually, when I first got it, I was doing a show on Groove Tech, the old internet radio station, and IG Culture was on after me, and he'd got a copy of it around the same time, I think, and he actually said that, like, he was just like, oh, I was going to play this later, so you know,
ruined my set.
Yeah, but no, it's amazing. I think he said that he'd always used to play it from the vocal breakdown, but I think the whole thing's just amazing.
It's
really
just
amazing.
A great kind of Sunday morning record, isn't it? You put that on and feel a hell of a lot better about your day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. We love that. Okay, so...
You probably won't feel quite as good about this one.
Why?
This is on staying on the jazz tip.
Okay.
On the avant-garde jazz tip. This is a record I picked up a few years back in New York. And I was actually intrigued by the cover because it's called Graffiti. It's from around the same time, about 1980, 81. It's by a bloke called Errol Parker.
Right.
Who... He looks white on the cover. I think he might be mixed race Algerian.
Right.
And said he'd moved to New York in the late 60s and got into jazz, but he brought this whole kind of, African polyrhythmic thing with him.
Mm.
And he's a pianist who insisted on always playing the drums on his recordings, but it sounds like he uses loops, which is quite strange. So it's very interesting. It's kind of like it's somewhere between this kind of boogie woogie piano rag through to like skippy hi-hats that could almost be like UK garage from the late 90s. But
well, this is sounding thoroughly intriguing.
I mean, I've chucked it into mixes before, just used little bits of it, and no one's noticed. But I think, you know, if I'd played the whole thing in a set, I'd have upset a few dance floors by now.
Well, we always like doing that. That's part of your ring, isn't it? It's a DJ sort of at one point make a concerted effort to clear the floor just to please yourself and claim credibility.
Oh, always give it a go.
Exactly. All right, let's check this out then. That is quite, it's a bit busy, isn't it?
as you said, as it started, it sounds like two songs being played at the same time.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of ragtime and jazz guys playing in the next room.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's quite interesting to say that, because that's kind of what I do when I play out, that, you know, I try and play a couple of things that shouldn't go together for as long as possible. As long as they'll stay on beat.
I wouldn't sure I'd use this song to reference your style if I were you, but, you know.
I mean,
that's what you want to believe.
Yeah, all right. I mean, in some ways, though, I mean, I really love listening to stuff like this, because I switch off and I don't try and think about how they made it, which is like, it's why it's good for me. Maybe not for anyone else, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same with all this stuff. You kind of sit there and think, you know, it's a bigger influence for you maybe than for... You know, for others to draw from it.
You probably wouldn't gather that I listen to this when listening to maybe one of my hi-fi dub mixes, but you know, it's all in there somewhere.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's the weird situation you get when people seem to express surprise that like hip-hop guys listen to rock music.
When, oh yeah, completely.
When like hip-hop appears to have been founded on that, and you know, funk grooves and stuff, but it's just a bit short-sightedness on people's part. We won't blame them for that.
Bloody kids.
Yes. So track 7, while I gently, politely fade this one down.
Track 7, we're going back to the Art Ensemble of Chicago.
Okay.
With them doing a kind of... almost like an old sort of rock and roll R&B thing, but with their slightly atonal take on things. So you might want to fade this one early as well.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is called Rock Out.
It's 6 minutes 20 long. Let's start the watch and see how long we get through this. Okay, let's have a go with this. So, I'm liking that. I must admit, I'm enjoying that more than the previous track.
Yeah.
Which at least, this is kind of at least one bunch of musicians playing together in a very arrhythmic manner rather than what sounded like
sure.
two.
They're definitely going in the same direction.
Yeah. He says Trick with a very confused look on his face, but... No, I enjoy it. I mean, it's like we were saying, I think sometimes, particularly if you're involved in music and DJing, making music or anything like that, you kind of need to have this stuff and be exposed to it on a regular basis just to keep reminding yourself that it's not all about like 4/4 beats and rhythms and everything else, because otherwise you just sound like everyone else. It gets, you know, a little bit tedious.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Not a lot of people did sound like Art Ensemble of Chicago, which was
possibly Sun Ra.
Yeah, definitely. I think
maybe
there's an influence of that in there. But I mean, I've heard that the original lineup of Art Ensemble came about when someone inherited some instruments. And I think Lester Bowie, the trumpeter, had the great idea of learning to play his. And it all kind of came around that.
He's a genius idea.
Yeah.
I'll learn to play the
Let's learn to play it properly. But, I mean, they really did manage to, like, cross genres between, like, great dance floor tracks of, you know, the classic Them Di Yo-Yo.
Mm.
And I think this is kind of on that tip, but a little bit more hard going, I guess, you know, melodically.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
as you can hear in the background there.
Yeah, but music, some music should be challenging, shouldn't it? You know, that's the bottom line. There has to be music
completely
out there that challenges you, and therefore you don't just sit and go, oh yeah, I can really nod my head with it or whatever. It's, you know, that's what it's there to do. It's supposed to make you sit up and think about it a bit more.
Yeah, totally.
And this achieves that at least. So, and right, again, politely fade it down while we bring on track 8. So, what you got for us then?
Track 8. This is something a little bit more mainstream. This is Del Shannon.
Really?
Yeah.
He of Runaway fame.
Uh-huh.
Good Lord. So, what's the track?
It's called Ginny in the Mirror.
Right, let's have a go.
Just give it a listen.
Every night, how I wanna kiss her. Every night, how I really miss her. Sound of doom. Through my pain I look in the looking glass, and I see Ginny in the mirror. Ginny with a laughing eye. Ginny in the mirror. Ginny when she said goodbye. When I think my broken heart's mending, and this misery will be ending, then I hear a voice in the lonely night. Feel a chill, cause there's not a soul in sight. Turn around and look in the looking glass, and I see Ginny in the mirror.
I never thought I would be having Del Shannon on Rhythm Incursions, but I actually really like Del Shannon because, as I was just saying to you, my parents, ever since I was born, had a Rockola jukebox, and Runaway by Del Shannon was on it, and I always thought the keys on that were just the most singularly mental. It's like a sound of its own.
Yeah. Oh, he's incredible. But one of the things about Del Shannon that does it for me, I mean, call me macabre, but I'm actually fascinated by artists who have killed themselves.
That is a tad on the macabre.
Yeah, just a little bit. But I think it's just some of them, you can hear it in their music. They're kind of, you know, they're living on that knife edge.
Mm.
And I think Del Shannon definitely, you know, he made some classic pop records like Runaway. Mm. But even in that, you can hear it in his voice. There's something not right. Something he's not happy about. And that song, you know, it goes from this kind of quite poppy verse to suddenly it breaks into this bridge where he's almost growling the lyrics and barking it.
Mm.
And I just find it fascinating that, I mean, I think he wound up shooting himself in the head, which, you know, poor fella. But
yeah, sad end.
Yeah, very sad end. But it's just, I just find that fascinating when you can hear that there's something about it. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but there's something about that song particularly.
Well, that's it. I mean, you never really know, I suppose, do you? Because especially, you know, particularly given the fact that, you know, this is all before you were old enough to know about it. You know, it wasn't of your time, like Kurt Cobain or whatever. You know, pick your dead rock star of the modern age. But no, I mean, I know what you mean, because like the Dale Shannon stuff, I just always remember sounding slightly kind of not ghoulish, but there's definitely a, I think a lot of it in truth is the organ sound, which you've heard appropriated even on, like, you know, Bobby Pickett's sort of Monster Mash
of
that sound. But yeah, I mean, you know, there is definitely, I can relate, I can see where you're going with that.
I think interesting with that record as well, it's called Ginny in the Mirror, and I've read somewhere that it was actually supposed to be Genie in the Mirror, and possibly the record company or someone came in and said give it like a girl's name rather than call it a genie, because the song's quite scary.
It's probably all that, you know, though, isn't it? Girls and cars and all that kind of cobblers. But
it seems to be he's talking to maybe his ex-girlfriend that's died or something. It's not quite right, though. It's a scary song. It's a pop song, but it's...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And that's what I like it. It's like it's right, but it's not. It's not catchphrase.
No, it's a fine choice as well. We like the old swerve balls coming in here. That's all good. So, right, so what have you got next for us?
I was going to say play Smokey Joe's Cafe by the Robins, but I think we're running out of time here. So I think we should flick it over to track 10.
Okay.
From my uncle's old band, the Pat McQueen Combo.
Nice. Keeping it local here.
Yeah, keeping it local. This is very raw. It's off an old dub plate.
Damn.
They recorded in about 1960, I think.
So what's the track called?
I don't actually know the name of the track. I think it's a cover. They were basically a sort of old rock and roll combo.
Mm.
And it must be a cover, because I can't imagine he ever picked up any girl in an 88 Oldsmobile round Mitcham Way.
All right, let's check this out then. I've got to hear this now. Here we go.
Saturday night, I just got beat, followed by the morning on, try to serve. My heart says go, go. Every time it's Saturday night, baby, I'm a feeling fine. I'm gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna ball it up, gonna twist it up. At the bottom night, well, I got me a baby and I won't be late. Up in my 88 shag on now by the Union Hall. The joints that it's jumping gonna have me about. I'm gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna ball it up, gonna twist it up. And the ball of spent my doubt tonight, gonna be one happy soul. I'm gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna break it up, gonna twist it up.
So there you have it. That's my Uncle Jeff, who for some reason they called the band the Pat McQueen Combo, even though he was on vocals. But he came around with the old dub plate that they recorded in some, I think it was in a house in Mitcham,
really?
Somewhere around Merton, around sort of 1960-ish. And I just thought I'd get that in for good measure. And the opening line to that one, the Saturday night and I just got paid, ties in quite nicely with the next one that, you'll hear it if you play it now. And I'll let you guess who the vocalist is.
All right, then, let's step straight on to the next. Here we go.
Saturday night and I ain't been paid. Have to spend if you wanna get laid. Bus, shelter, bowling alley, give me your name. Sports car, rock band, you're all the same. Saturday night and I'm feeling the heat. But the pavement is cold when you're out on the street. Shop, windows, car park, nothing to do. Your flat, posh house, it's all.
Killing a bit of time.
Kill another night. Killing time. Kill another night. Killing time. I'm my house, I'm your house, I'm my house, I'm your house, I'm my house, I'm your house, I'm my house, I'm your house.
Phil Daniels.
I was going to say it's a new one from the Streets, but you just gave it away. Yeah, Phil Daniels and the Cross.
No, I was, I mean, you can't mistake that guy anywhere, can you? You sort of spot him a mile off, and not thanks to Blur, but just his general tone is completely unmistakable. But...
Exactly, which makes it a little bit unbelievable that he's gone on the run in EastEnders at the moment.
Shocking.
Because, you know, everyone's going to know he's Phil Daniels.
I know. I mean, actually, we shouldn't be saying this, because Marco, who owns Bully Records in Canada, is a massive EastEnders fan.
I've heard
EastEnders
this.
Is 2 years behind over there, and he really gets the ump if I let slip with any storylines. Although I did hear that when his last birthday, Buddy P sent him one of those Frank Butcher talking cards.
No.
So I think I opened it. It was like, "Happy birthday, you pilchard."
That's wicked. Sorry, as soon as you said that, I was thinking, what could we give away? But no, we won't do that to you, Marco.
Yeah, he never forgave me. I think I told him, I can't remember what storyline it was, but it was like, I think it might have been the Mitchell brothers coming back. he was really annoyed. So, yeah, apologies to Marco for the storyline slip there, if he's listening. Okay, so next track, what we got then?
Disco Dub Band, For the Love of Money.
No, I don't know about Disco Dub Band, do they?
Disco Dub Band, I'm not totally sure on who this is. I know the guy from Z Records was apparently on production or something to do with it. But it's just an interesting cut because as far as I know it's reggae musicians, and right. I think it was on Movers, which has exactly the same label as another reggae label called I think it was Rockers.
Okay.
That put out some kind of Lovers Rock-esque stuff.
Yeah.
Some quite like chart worthy poppy reggae from the mid 70s. And it's just a strange record because this sounds like you know, disco dub. I think they created the term, really. Sounds a bit like maybe the spaced out version of Moody by ESG or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're talking sort of 6 years prior to that whole scene.
Damn.
So I suppose the Z Records thing, that makes sense.
Okay, well, let's give this a spin. Thank you. Disco dub band, it's definitely, that's fine stuff, isn't it? And I see your point about the reggae touch, it's definitely something going on
completely.
There.
Just some really spacious disco, basically. But it's just interesting that it came out so many years before, like ESG and Liquid and bands like that, Contortions.
Yeah.
Staying on that tip, the next ones should be a radio first, because this is off an old tape that my sister's bloke, Steve Miller, gave to me a little while ago. Of his band that never even made it out to any gigs. They were called Return of the Panthers.
Right.
And they went through quite a few incarnations since the late 70s. They originally they gigged around with early versions of the Cardiacs. It was Cardiac Arrest. And there was a little scene going on around Chessington and Kingston in southwest London.
Yeah.
And they sort of progressed on into the early 80s doing kind of like pop group-esque kind of punk funk and no wave.
Right,
and then on the B-side of one of their tapes they gave me, it had this amazing like dub version of one of their songs. So I think this is called Calling Captain Nemo dub.
Okay, let's give this a try.
A one, a two...
Thank you.
I think that track should be reissued.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to put that out myself. I've been thinking about it for a while. I don't know if they've got the original tapes or not. I mean, I've copied that off the off an old cassette. It's a bit muffled, but it still sounded very nice, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, if Gaz Mayall can do a whole compilation on Trojan based on like ratty old 7-inches, which sounds fantastic, I might add, and I'm not knocking it, you know, then there's no excuse, really.
I actually, funny enough, because I do a bit of stuff with Trojan, I was having a look through their list of tapes, seeing what they've got the multi-tracks to, and I actually spotted, I think it's a Maytals track,
right,
on tape, and that's their master copy on a cassette.
Oh, really? Which, yeah. It's like a C90?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Christ knows the quality.
He's just like... Yes, I was scared to think about that one. But
they've got some amazing stuff down there, though.
Well, I suppose with reggae, I mean, part of it, you know, the quality issue isn't, you know, it's not big, fat, modern sound, is it? It's kind of like inherently grotty anyway.
Exactly.
So a bit more grot won't really
kind of adds
ruin
to it.
The whole flavour. It's probably add to it, if anything.
In fact, you know, a lot of the time, the clean side of reggae, sort of, that's one of the problems that a lot of people have with it. It's all a bit too clinical now. And
yeah, a bit too digital, a bit too quantized. But then,
I think when digital's done right, digital reggae can be amazing, you know.
I think digital dub, like Twilight Circus, guys like that, can just be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
But it's taken me a long time to find digital dub that I actually thought...
What do you think of Pulp?
Yeah, I enjoyed the first three Pulp albums, but then when you got Fat John on board and tried to do hip-hop...
all right, yeah, fair enough.
Hell off. But Pulp 1, 2 and 3, 1 and 2 specifically,
yeah,
amazing. Fantastic records, but yeah, and same for like Rhythm and Sound. Even if Rhythm and Sound is kind of like one rhythm and sound, it's sort of all the same, you know, rhythms going on. It's still pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
So okay, we're coming to a close on the show. So we've got one last track.
Yeah, one last track. This I think is never heard before as well. This is actually I think it's a dub plate. Yeah, in fact, I know it's a dub plate because I copied it myself. Of a studio session from, I'm guessing, about 1970.
Right.
And it's a good friend of mine's dad who passed away a few years back, a guy called Mick Wayne.
Right.
He used to play for Bowie back in the day. He had a great band called Junior's Eyes.
Okay.
And he produced a single on, well, 4Pi Records, but I don't think it ever got released. And it's for an old reggae vocalist called Top Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Who's nothing to do with the current guy.
Oh, right.
But yeah, it's an amazing version of Bring It On Home To Me, the old soul track. Right. And it's just interesting because you can hear that it's blues musicians and rock musicians playing the parts, I think.
Yeah.
So it's got a kind of quite an interesting, like, East meets West kind of feel.
Out. Okay, this is track 16, isn't it, on the CD?
Track 16, yeah. Good. Top Cat.
Ha, nails it. Well, listen, we're going to end there, and I'm going to thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you.
And yeah, this has been an extremely valuable set of lessons for me. Got a little list now to go out and buy, as I hope will our listeners. But thank you, Wrong Tom, for coming in. And anything you want to plug?
Cassette Cat. You can't buy it. But if you see it, do.
You can't buy it, but if you... Banquet Records, enough said. Right, Wrong Tom, thank you very much for your time, mate. Let's kick this off. And who knows, we may have you back sometime soon. Right, we're out of here. Peace.
I'm but leaving me behind. Oh, honey, come and
bring it to me. slain. Feel I'm dead and buried in my grave. So come on, honey, come and bring it to me.